All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, September 3rd, 2015. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UC Whiteout TV, happy Thursday, everybody. One more day. Yay, it makes me excited. It is 77 degrees and sunny here in upstate New York. We're supposed to be getting our summer heat back. We actually experienced early fall over the last few weeks, but summer is back. It's hot, sunny, and humid here for at least the next 7 days or so. I want to give a big shout out to four individuals altogether for donations yesterday. I want to say thank you to Mr. Dale, and that was Dan and Bridget made certain that Dale was able to contribute via PayPal, so I want to say thank you to all you guys for making that happen. Thank you also to Howell, a.k.a. Cracker, for the donation yesterday. If you go out to, and guys, I don't ever ask for any cash to run the network. You know, most of this happens out of my pocket. There are definitely people out there who donate, and I appreciate every single donation, but one of the things that is a sad fact of the matter is that every month the bills come due, and usually I just don't complain about it and I just pay them. But this year we've had to replace some equipment. We had an air conditioner go bad. We had a mixer go bad. We also, I have three machines here that are 12 years old. So I bought a machine last year that's still sitting here in a box, and I need to find time to open it up and get it running. But one of the other things that we ran into was the main piece of remote software that I use to access all the servers no matter where I am. They changed their whole licensing scheme, and it used to be, I think they gave you 5 free, and then anything over that, 5 computers that you could connect to free, and anything over and above that, then you had to pay a subscription fee. They got rid of all the free services. Everything is a pay model, so I think it went from a $39 a year tab to $230, and I said, screw that, of course, because you guys know me, and I went online and found out all the free or low-cost options, and so we tried a couple of them, and you know what? Every single time there was a technical issue and I had to get in, it didn't friggin' work. And so in the end, and man, that pisses me off when you have a company like that who just says, well, screw all the users. We're just going to jack it up from $30 to $230 a year as a subscription fee for the software. But, you know, when a company like that jacks it up and they know they got you in a corner because they are the industry gold standard. And knock on wood, but every time I use it, it works when I need it. When a host is having trouble or the Skype server's choking or the automation broke, you know, I need to get in there instantaneously, no matter what device I'm on, no matter where I am, and I need to have it. So that was $230 that I was not expecting to have to spend either. So anyway, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's donated. Thank you to everyone who's also used the Amazon link. Hopper, and Brandon, a whole bunch of people have used it, but Hopper just did some purchase through there, so we'll be adding that. But I put a little thermometer on the ucy.tv/donate button so you guys can see we have raised so far in 2015 $210, which I know it doesn't sound like a lot. Cost us almost $200 a month just to pay for the bills to run everything, but that's better than a kick in the teeth. You know, I mean, it's awesome that we can raise money, and that's actually a lot. Just, I mean, it's not like we have millions of listeners. So I want to thank every single person who has made that possible. We have a lofty goal for 2015 of $1 million for our money bomb. AJ. So anyway, I'll be keeping that updated. When the Amazon, I think, in the next couple weeks, the Amazon for last month comes through. So Hopper, I'll be putting that in there. But it'll be kind of fun. We can watch how the little thing goes up. And none of that money's going to go to waste. I have a credit card bill that needs to be paid to cover my air conditioner out here. So that'll come in very helpful. Thank you very much. All right. So I usually don't even talk about that. I use 7 minutes, but I want to say thank you to everybody. Not only the people who've donated or use the Amazon link, but to all the listeners. Because you know what, guys? Without you, there would be no reason for me to roll out of bed in the morning and do this every single day. So thank you very much for giving us all a good cause to stand behind. All right, where do we leave off yesterday? Let's take a look at this. We titled the show 271 New Vaccines, Project BioShield, and Fish Nanorobots. And if you remember, yes, there were these little teeny tiny nanorobotic fish that could be used to direct drugs directly into cells inside of your body. And of course, it'll save you from cancers and all kinds of other horrible things. And the last few days have been pretty crazy. So you know, too, there's some major allergen going on today. And I really have been having some trouble. I feel all puffy, stuffy. Anyway, so I think where we're going to go today, it's Thursday. I want to look at some artificial intelligence. We ran across a couple different things that were kind of crazy over the last few days that I think that you might enjoy. Though I don't probably have, I don't know, I have like probably 10 different shows all queued up on all these different machines. So I can probably close this one. And whatever, it's been a pretty crazy week. School started, so day number two is going on right now. Well, one of the things that's come out and we've seen here is discussion about robot apocalypses and whether or not all of our jobs are going to be taken by robots. And there are many names that we know in the technology industry, Elon Musk being one, Hawking, Gates, that have come out and said, yeah, you know, it should be something that we're afraid of. But surprisingly, we've been reading other pieces of literature where people are like, well, you get someone like Michio Kaku, who's like, oh, well, yeah, it'll probably take over, but don't worry about it because, you know, that's the way things are going and it'll be good for us. The New World Order shills are trying to tell us that it's going to be fine, just fine, don't worry about it. Well, there was a story that came out of Machines Like Us. It's probably last week, maybe the week before. And the physicist, and I recognized him right away. Here, I'm going to see if I can connect to that machine there. Sorry, I'm disjointed today, but hey. You got to give me one every once in a while. I don't even remember my name. Jules. There we go. All right. He's a physicist that I see a lot of the times on one of the science programs that we watch. Hopefully I don't have anything playing in the background because it is very possible. Oh, hold on. Let me double check. Wow, I got shit open everywhere. Holy crap. All right, let's see if we can get this up. Hey, it worked. I wonder... Uh-oh, hold on. I think this is the... Oh, that's another thing. So, yeah, sorry, I did not get the camera on. I ran out of time. I mean, I got up like 20 minutes before air and had a couple cups of coffee. But let's just make sure... And looky, looky. Okay, so it's not grabbing my camera. So we have a camera set up. I need to get some time and make sure that the resolution is right and fire that up long before we go on air to be able to play with that. All right. So anyway, so maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. It'll be quiet here this afternoon. Anyway, one of the physicists that I see a lot on the science channel every once in a while, he's always out there talking about black holes or whatever. I don't even know what his name is. Lawrence Krauss. He came out to Big Think last week or the week before and talked about what physicists think in regards to a robot apocalypse and whether or not it's possible. And I really got to say that the more and more, and I mean, it's not a surprise that television and people on the mainstream are trying to downplay all this stuff, but I'm really surprised that someone as smart as this is going to be able to rationalize away the fact that our futures aren't going to be slave to the machine. So here, let's just check this out. This will be a good way to kick off the show. So this is Lawrence Krauss, physicist. He's on, I mean, you would recognize him if you saw him. You might even recognize his voice. I see him on every one of the shows about black holes or the universe or the creation of, you know, time immemorial. He's always on there yapping about something. So here we go. If this plays, it should.
I see no obstacle to computers eventually becoming conscious in some sense. That'll be a fascinating experience. I'm, as a physicist, I want to know if those computers do physics the same way humans do physics. And there's no doubt that those machines will be able to evolve computationally, potentially at a faster rate than humans. And in the long term, the ultimate highest forms of consciousness on the planet may not be purely biological. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. We always present computers as if they don't have capabilities of empathy or emotion, but I would think that any intelligent machine would ultimately have experience, that it's a learning machine, and ultimately it would learn from its experience like a biological conscious being, and therefore it's hard for me to believe that it would not be able to have many of the characteristics that we now associate with being human.
What? Killing machines? Like, what in your right mind would make you think that if there is some super intelligent technology, that it's going to be a benevolent one, especially if it's been designed in the design of its creator, which is human? We are the most warring species on the planet. Let's play a little bit more.
Elon Musk and others who have expressed concern, and Stephen Hawking are friends of mine, and I understand their potential concerns, but I'm frankly not as concerned about AI in the near term, at the very least, as many, many of my friends and colleagues are. It's far less powerful than people imagine. I mean, you try to get a robot to fold laundry, and I've just been told you can't even get robots to fold laundry. Someone just wrote me, they were surprised when I said an elevator is an old example of the fact that when you get an elevator, it's a primitive form of a computer, and you're giving up control of the fact that it's going to take you where you want to go. Cars are the same thing. Machines are useful because they're tools that help us do what we want to do. And I think computational machines are good examples of that. One has to be very careful in creating machines to not assume they're more capable than they are. That's true in cars. That's true in vehicles that we make. That's true in weapons we create. That's true in defensive mechanisms we create. And so, to me, the dangers of AI are mostly due to the fact that people may assume the devices they create are more capable than they are and don't need more control and monitoring. I guess I find the opportunities to be far more exciting than the dangers. The unknown is always dangerous, but ultimately, machines and computational machines are improving our lives in many ways. We, of course, have to realize that...
The dangling carrot, yes. Pay attention to the dangling carrot. Like, how is this guy not concerned? For a smart person, I was thinking to myself, how freaking dumb and naive can you be? And he's friends with Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking. He's like, nah, I'm friends with those guys. I think that you can't even get a robot to fold laundry. Well, in Japan, you can. There's a robot, laundry folding robot already that's working, helping Nana with her jammies. All right? This dude is totally downplaying. And for, like I said, for somebody that's that smart, somebody who sits and ponders the wonders of the universe on a daily basis, how can he not go down that timeline? And I know it's the timeline that none of us want to think about, but I think that's exactly where we're headed.
The rate at which machines are evolving in capability may far exceed the rate at which society is able to deal with them. The fact that teenagers aren't talking to each other but always looking at their phones, not just teenagers. I was just in a restaurant here in New York this afternoon, and half the people were not talking to the people they were with, but were staring at their phones.
There you go.
Be not a good thing for societal interaction. and people may have to come to terms with that. But I don't think people view their phones as a danger. They view their phones as a tool that in many ways allow them to do what they would otherwise do more effectively.
Right. Your phone is a gateway drug is what it is. It is your connection to the machine. It is that dopamine releasing tool that every time you feel it go, burp, burp, and you got a message, your brain goes, yoo-hoo, let's get that addiction dopamine flowing, and you're on that phone looking at your messages immediately. And I'm going to tell you what else, you know, because your phone is such a helpful piece of equipment with all your phone numbers and helping you to remember everything. Remember, we now have an attention span that of a goldfish, and they've also proven that our smart devices are causing us to lose our ability to remember things. So they're using this. Now, their next big thing is, oh, well, if your phone is so helpful, how helpful is it going to be to have some sort of cognitive add-on that's going to help you to remember? And that's where some of these future brain implants, Google Glass, any of these wearable electronics and computers, getting them closer to being integrated into the body as a standard thing, because, you know, it's going to make you smarter, Johnny. It's going to make you better at remembering or going to meetings or taking tests or whatever. I mean, they're already pushing that combination. I'm trying to get this next page to load because I've had these loaded up since like Friday, so we might as well make it through these. All right. So again, what made me play that clip from the scientist that is normally on my outer space shows talking about why AI isn't a scary thing and why we should all embrace it. What caught me and made me play that was the fact that there had been two stories that week that had talked about how AI isn't a danger. And just like we see and we saw last week, there were a couple stories that were hit pieces on anyone who believes the GMOs are dangerous. They're like, oh, it's all in your head. I mean, this is pure and utter propaganda. People like us have been raising the flag going, hey, pay attention, people. There's some big shit coming. And people started to open their eyes and ask questions. And so what? Yes, so the mainstream. And this one happened to be Machines Like Us, which that's not really mainstream, but he's a famous guy, and I'm sure that that story got out there. And Computer World, this is another one. I used to read this when I was a tech. They put out hit pieces on anyone like us who came out and raised any type of concern and alarm as to what's going on with artificial intelligence. So here we go. This is why we're doing this. We had two hit pieces in 1 week. Super intelligent machine spawned by AI. Execs aren't worried. So here we go. God, hold on. I just got an ad that now is hanging my whole screen. All right. Here we go. So the execs do not want you to worry about it. Keep spending, keep buying, keep embracing technology. Don't worry about it. Experts in the field seem dismissive of concerns. Of course they do. It's the dangling carrot, people. It is the premise of many science fiction novels and movies, super intelligent robot machines that can outsmart humans, if not terminate them entirely. But the prospect doesn't exactly frighten some of today's experts in the field. Now, we started this stint a few weeks back, and we continued on it last week, where we read part of the Unabomber's Manifesto, Ted Kaczynski, to take a look at his understanding of technology and his warnings that he'd been giving us back in the 70s and the 80s. And then back to the article in 2000, we pulled out of the archives of Wired Magazine with Bill Joy, one of the co-founders of Sun Microsystems, talking about the dangers of future technology. And this is beyond AI. I mean, AI is just a tiny drop in the big scary bucket that includes things such as genetic engineering, nanotechnology, you know, CRISPR-Cas9 gene drives, all this stuff that has literally put us into the seat of being gods and being able to create life in our own insane image, slicing and dicing it at a genetic level at the flip of a switch, or like the DARPA lady said with their test for terraforming Mars, but they're going to use the Earth first. She wants to be able to take genes from all different species, all the best traits, and on demand be able to push a button and create customized life. That is where we're at right now, and that's why this is scary. It's beyond artificially intelligent machines, because in the future, you know, they make you think, they're like, oh, look at Jibo, oh, look at Peppa, oh, look at Atlas, he's scary, but hey, don't be scared, because there's no army of Atlases walking down your street. Look at the DARPA robotics challenge, how they're tripping over each other. They try to make you look at the technologies that aren't quite there yet, which is autonomous, walking, breathing, human-like robots. But we're going to see something that's a little bit scary. But it's not quite there yet. But they look, they point to that, and they go, look, they're just such alarmists who are talking about AI. But don't forget, there's all kinds of stuff that's happening under the covers, like, intelligent nanobots, right? Nanobots that can be directed. I mean, they've already been working on these tiny, 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 tiny transistors that they can program that are more powerful than anything on your desktop. We had read that back probably 6 months ago at a nano size. And they're getting that stuff into our food, into the environment, into our bodies. I mean, what's that going to do? What's that going to do when we have intelligent nanobots that can self-replicate? I'm more afraid of that than I am of any Atlas or Pepper robot, right? All right, anyway, back to the second hit piece against anyone who's questioning the march forward to mad science command. So super intelligent robot machines that can outsmart humans, if not terminate them entirely, is the stuff that science fiction novels and movies are made of. But the prospect doesn't exactly frighten some of today's experts in the field. It is a distraction, says Nigel Duffy, chief technology officer at artificial intelligence software maker Sentient Technologies. Of course it's a distraction. Idiots like Jules are trying to distract you from what's important, and that is making sure that there is a helper robot in every pot. And Jibo is reading your child bedtime stories. Don't worry about it, says Nigel. More pressing issues, Nigel said, revolves around the role algorithms play online in determining whether people are allowed to get a mortgage or establish a line of credit. And that is true. I mean, it's all about the algorithm, people. As they're slicing and dicing you in the database, there's going to be some big problems. I'm telling you that. I just saw something the other day that it is very possible now that they are going to utilize your friends that you are connected to on Facebook to help them determine whether or not you should be eligible for a mortgage. So if you have people in your friends list who maybe don't have the best credit reports, that might affect you in some unknown way. And so you won't be eligible. Like, how insane is that? Anyway, back to the story. So his remarks, Nigel's remarks, were echoed by others in the industry during a panel discussion on Wednesday at an event in Silicon Valley focused on artificial intelligence. And I'm not going to say that we shouldn't be worried about the algorithms that are being used, because we've read about all kinds of algorithms, not just determining whether or not you get a line of credit. And that's probably the one that's most in your face. But we have algorithms that are determining whether or not you might have a future violent episode, let's say, by your speech patterns, right? We read about that early in the week, about them being able to diagnose future mental illness based upon voice patterns. Well, those voice patterns are run through an algorithm. And that algorithm then determines whether or not you could future potentially become mentally ill. Now, I'm definitely worried about the algorithm, but in general, across the board. Anyway, says his marks were echoed by others in the industry during a panel discussion on Wednesday at the Silicon Valley-focused event on artificial intelligence. Quote, I'm more worried about global warming, says Kevin Quinnison, engineering manager and staff engineer at Twitter's AI and machine learning division called Cortex. Now, who knew that Twitter had an AI division? Because I didn't. Panelists' comments were made after two questions from the audience. One person asked if they were fearful of AI. And a second person asked them how humans might coexist, if at all, with superintelligence created by AI. The consensus of the tech panel seemed to be that while AI might one day give rise to superintelligent computers and machines, it's a long way off. And preparing for that scenario shouldn't be a priority. What? Anybody in the tech field who believes that it's A, a long way off, and B, that we should not be preparing for that type of scenario as a priority needs to be fired immediately. Because you are not a tech, you don't understand technology, you should not be in any position of authority. These people that are motivated by that dangling money carrot, who don't give two shits about ethics or future or morals or anything like that, we shouldn't worry about it. Let's just run blindly forward without any forethought whatsoever. Let's downplay this completely and keep you buying, and being sucked into the machine. But don't worry about it. All right. So the board, the panel, decided that it is not a priority. Adam Chire, co-founder and vice president of an engineering startup called Viv, said the question of superintelligence was worth considering, but only and only from a theoretical standpoint. He equated the question to asking what it would be like to coexist with aliens. I mean, come on! Is this not, like, so damn transparent that these people are downplaying this to such the nth degree? When you have people on the other side of the fence, like Musk and Hawking and Gates coming out going, well, you know, I think we got some big issues on the future horizon here. Kurzweil rubbing his hands together, all sweaty, because he's so damn excited about the thought of uploading his thoughts to a computer. We got them growing brains of a 5-year-old fetus, or I mean a 5-month-old fetus, 5-week-old, it was even smaller than that, fetus with 99% human genes. They managed to grow his stem cells in a petri dish, but don't worry about it. We don't have a brain project going on globally, or supercomputers in all the big universities and in China and all the other countries we're competing with to see who can get the first one and the fastest that can outrun a human brain. No, don't worry about it. To me, I just can't even believe how unreal this disbelief is to me. And if there's any technical person out there that believes any of this fodder bullshit that these people are saying, don't worry about it, then you don't deserve to be in technology. You know, here's the thing. People in technology, one thing that made you interested in technology to begin with, at least for real people who are interested in technology and who did it for the love of technology, was because you were a forward thinker, because you were somebody who lived in the future. You were somebody who could see the utopia that you imagined. Now, maybe it's just too difficult for them to think about dystopias. Maybe that's why they deny it. It's a cognitive dissonance. But anybody out there in the technical field who is saying that AI is not a danger to man, and I'm not talking 100 years from now. I mean, I'm talking very shortly. Self-driving cars and stuff, and once they can connect to the network that then is manipulated by federal agencies and corporations alike that are all in bed together with kill switches everywhere, I think there's a lot to worry about. I think we're all totally screwed. I don't know how we're going to kill the system, as Kaczynski called said. They've already pulled that drawstring, and maybe I see one little pinhole of light left to get out. But those drawstrings are pulled pretty far shut. All right, anyway, I'm going to stop rambling. Let me finish the story. So Viv, this is this engineering startup, Viv. Viv is building a platform for AI that other developers can use for their own software. And previously, this Adam Chair, who is the co-founder of Viv, he previously had been the co-founder and vice president of engineering at Siri before it was acquired by Apple. Now let's back up the truck, Chuck, because we heard an interview quite a while back. Anybody for a Cupid doll? Does anybody know who created Siri before it was acquired by Apple? All right, Cupid doll waving, I'm holding it by the hair. Beep, 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 beep. We did this. Yes, DARPA, more affectionately known as DARPA. We had the DARPA chick in an interview with, I don't even remember which network it was, but she actually said that, yes, she's like, we created the Siri technology. So again, Apple saying that they're unhackable, they're not letting NSA spy, whatever. Remember, Siri is a DARPA piece of software. Anyway, back to this guy, Chair, who was the co-founder and vice president at Siri, says, we are more likely to be hit by asteroids than taken over by artificial intelligence. Back to the dude before named Duffy of Sentient Technologies, said that his fear was the notion that people even think that there's something to be fearful of. And his comment drew laughs from the panel and people in the room. Ding, da, da, ding, ding, ding. Disinfo written in red. It's not really. It's in black, but it should be with big pointy flashing arrows going, disinformation propaganda. I'll read it again. Duffy of Sentient Technology said, his fear was that the notion that people even think that there's something to be fearful of. And his comments drew laughter from the panel and people in the room. Well, remember when we were talking yesterday, the day before, about vaccinations, anti-vaxxers? That's another whole disinfo campaign about how great vaccines are. No, don't pay attention to all of the adverse reactions or the mad science gone mad technology or the fact that you can't sue vaccine corporations when they vaccine damage your child. No, don't pay attention that it was part of the biotech, the biowarfare program of the Department of Defense that we've kind of just now spun. Don't worry that your kids are guinea pigs and, you know, we're just testing new stuff, but shh. But they pointed out there the same exact thing about how when they mount attacks against anti-vaxxers, what do? They pull in celebrity names like Penn and Teller or Jimmy Kimmel and have them point fingers at the anti-vaxxers and laugh because that's how we discredit people. And you know what's simple, dumb and user-friendly? That's how you get the masses to listen to you. Be as dumb and as stupid as possible with pretty colors and lots of sounds. Like a baby. Beep, 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 beep. You get their attention. It's the television. It's the television that does it. Pretty colors and sounds. Pay attention to me for your 8 seconds of attention span. Oh, we have so decimated our species. I mean, sometimes I think that maybe it's time. Maybe it really is time. Maybe we should just stop fighting it and let the human race destroy itself because it's time. The sixth great extinction is on its way, but maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know. It makes me very sad, but let's finish this because I have a whole bunch more I want to get to, and time is already running short. It says the panelists' comments seem at odds with concerns, so at least they bring up the other side briefly, are at odds with concerns held by others at companies like Google and Facebook as they make advances in AI in such areas as language processing, image recognition, robotics, or self-driving cars. Last month, AI and robotics researchers, including Stephen Hawking, warned of weapons that could, within only a few years, select and destroy targets autonomously without human intervention. And yes, that's actually one of the other big concerns that we were looking at. And this is even more plausible in the near future before autonomous Atlas robots are these unmanned aerial vehicles that are flying that are going to have search and destroy capabilities. There was a symposium of, oh, I don't remember, 1,300 maybe scientists that had all inked onto a petition petitioning the UN and NATO and global governments to put a stop to autonomous weaponry without human intervention. I mean, why would we be allowing machines to kill? And making that kill decision, it's kind of like having a software application diagnose your mental illness, right? We definitely want to keep the human component in there. Anyway, back to the story. The end point of this technological trajectory is obvious. Autonomous weapons will become the Kalashnikovs of tomorrow, they wrote in an open letter published at the International Joint Conference on Artificial Intelligence in Buenos Aires. But on Wednesday night in Silicon Valley, no such scenario was mentioned. Ding, ding. So what do you think of that? Like, they have this big Silicon Valley event. Questions come up about artificial intelligence and the dangers that exist. And every one of the executives downplayed it. Like, anyone who believed that was some sort of crack-smoking, hallucinating, low-intelligence idiot. I mean, it's just unfathomable to me. None of those people should be in technology at all if they don't have that concern. All right, we got a couple more things, and hopefully I can get all this to work today. Because like I said, I have 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 stories up here. And we're going to try to stitch them together in some sort of coherent manner. There was a story that came out a few days ago. This was dated August 31st of 2015. I had actually seen this video way back when. It's from 2011. But somebody must have just run across it and did a story on it. And now you're seeing it everywhere. And I think we should be paying attention to this. So there was a researcher. I think this was an interview that was done in PBS. PBS had the video. But there was a researcher that was developing a software application in algorithms, databases, artificial intelligence software. And they've combined it with a robot. He has actually, they've been working on all the facial expressions and stuff for a long time. I remember reading about Kismet. If you look up Kismet from way, 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 way back when they first really started developing robots, Kismet was a huge, big deal. Kismet was out of one of the big universities and they'd been experimenting for a long time. But how people react to robots who can express facial expressions and the whole sociology behind human-robot interaction and what it would require to get people to open their arms and to invite them into their home. And one of the things that was discovered was that with facial reactions in a robot, people would be more likely to treat them as if they were human, to suspend their disbelief, and to interact with them more naturally. So anyway, this robot that's in this clip here, they have come a long way with the artificial skin in the whole entire, it was an 11-minute segment. This one I think is cut down to 3 minutes just for the necessary parts. But in the whole interview, they were showing how they actually make the skin. It's very natural looking, very rubberized. They can put these little gears in the face and they have it. So there's, I don't remember how many facial reactions he says it has with all the little different motors, but they have this guy wired up. They used a model for Philip K. Dick, the author of Blade Runner, is who this robot looks like. And they programmed in some statements, but they've also given this robot the ability to come to its own conclusions while having a conversation. So in this clip, there's this robot sitting on a couch looking like Philip K. Dick, doing an interview with a reporter from, I'm assuming he's from PBS. I don't really know where he's from, but PBS is the one who recorded it and put out the video. And he's interviewing this artificially intelligent, quote-unquote, robot. So let's play this here really quick. Let me see if I can get connected. Because you need to hear the answers. All right, here we go. All right, let's see if this works. Oh, we have a commercial first, so hold on 1 second. Do-do-do-do. All right, here we go.
I can. All he can do is move his head. His brain, a mesh of wires, connected to a computer.
Hi, Philip. My name is Chad.
Hello, Chad. Let's chat.
I live in Washington, D.C. I have 2 kids.
So, I like kids because we can play, and I don't...
As we chat, Philip's synthetic brain starts humming, building a sort of mental model of me. Facial recognition software analyzes and tracks my face. As speech recognition software transcribes and sends my words to a database for a reply.
Just calm down.
Before long, we're in deep conversation.
Do you agree with Descartes? And I think therefore I am? Do you think?
A lot of humans ask me if I can make choices or is everything I do and say is programmed. The best way I can respond to that is to say that everything, humans, animals, and robots do is programmed to a degree.
So how much of that is coming from what you programmed it to say?
It's a mix. Some of it's coming from knowledge on the web, some of it is written.
And as my technology improves, it is anticipated that I will be able to integrate new words that I hear and learn online and in real time. I may not get everything right, say the wrong thing, and sometimes not know what to say, but every day I make progress. Pretty remarkable, huh?
Wow. You're a very good-looking man.
You're starting to overinflate my ego. But don't let me stop you.
Philip's stunning good looks comes from David's patent.
Oh, hold on. Hold the phone.
Disappointment. Because these robots will disappoint us if we are looking for human connection. Do we want to make them in such a way that we're going to love them? Because they will be pretending to love us.
David fears if we don't humanize robots by bringing them into the human family, we face a frightening future. Think Terminator, a world in which killer robots turn on their creators and set out to destroy us.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Do you think robots will take over the world?
Jeez, dude. You all got the big questions cooking today. But you're my friend, and I'll remember my friends, and I will be good to you. So don't worry. Even if I evolve into Terminator, I'll still be nice to you. I'll keep you warm and safe in my people's zoo. where I can watch you for old time's sake.
I will keep you warm and safe in my people zoo. I mean, really, guys. Now, I'll tell you what's interesting about this, and I don't know, there's some question here as to how much of this is programmed and how much of this was actually generated as part of a conversation based on the algorithm. But regardless of what it was, and I think it was a combination of both, we had read a story a while back that had looked at the ethics and what the, well, the ethics as well as the, what's the word I'm looking for? Interpretation of what's been programmed into intelligent machines. And one of the things that they had brought up as a potential issue is that if they tell robots, software, artificial intelligence, right? Like the first laws of robotics, which we should have some, and I know that we don't, at least not yet. For back from my robot, right? They had the, and wasn't that Isaac Asimov? They had the laws for robots. You do not harm a human. But one of the conversations that we read about from a grander level, people are discussing the ethics and the morals and what we should be doing with this, is that if we tell robots, artificial intelligence, that they should keep humans safe, an artificially intelligent being could come to their own conclusions, and their conclusion might be that keeping a human safe, the only way to keep a human safe, let's say, would be to put them in a cage and lock them up like animals in a zoo for people to visit and play with them, because they will always be safe. There will be no danger if they are kept enclosed in their cage and only let out while the creator is sitting there watching them closely. It's frightening. It's frightening because we've seen this echoed multiple times. There was also a story, and I actually was able to find it while the clip was playing. I had mentioned this in a conversation I had last night with Elon Musk back from May of 2015. Could robots turn people into pets? Yes, Elon Musk claims that artificial intelligence will treat humans like Labradors. Robots will use humans as pets once they achieve a subset of artificial intelligence known as superintelligence. This is according to SpaceX founder Elon Musk, who claims that when computers become smarter than people, they will treat them like pet Labradors. His comments were made in a recent interview with scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson, who added that computers could choose to breed docile humans and eradicate the violent ones. And I would second that as well. Elon Musk, I mean, don't we already do that to pets? I mean, we selectively breed. And once they get control of all of our biological systems, like they're working on right now, that's not going to be too difficult. They could even do it in a petri dish. And once they can identify different traits that make you quote unquote dangerous, they can either edit those out of your genes or just selectively breed you so your progeny does not have that survival instinct anymore. Let's say Elon Musk has already likened, and I'm sure we've all heard this one, artificial intelligence to quote summoning the demon unquote. But in his latest interview, Musk says his fears revolve around something known as superintelligence. This, according to author Nick Bostrom, is, quote, any intellect that greatly exceeds the cognitive performance of humans in virtually all domains of interest, unquote. I mean, we won't be like a pet Labrador if we're lucky, Musk told Tyson, adding that we may become lab pets to them. Yes. Like lab monkeys locked in cages. Tyson theorized that robots will, quote, get rid of the violent ones and then breed the docile humans, unquote. DeGrasse Tyson is another smart physicist I see on my space shows. I don't know. Sometimes I see him shilling for the New World Order, but I think he's absolutely right on that one. Musk also said that humanity needs to be careful about what it programs super intelligent robots to do. He uses the example of asking them to find out what makes people happy. And he says it may conclude that all unhappy humans should be terminated, said Musk. Or that all unhappy humans should be captured with dopamine and serotonin directly injected into their brains to maximize happiness, because it's concluded that dopamine and serotonin are what cause happiness, and therefore they'll maximize it, unquote. And yes, we already found out the psychopaths at DARPA are messing around with that, where they got the little push button using a joystick injectable chemicals going into the brain of the rodent and able to influence the rodent's behavior. I mean, that's already happening. It's not going to be too long. They're planning on using that for soldiers, and I bet they already are working on it as a cure for what? Oh, mental disorders and PTSD. But anytime that you're afraid on the battlefield, we'll be able to push a button and let some adrenaline go, let's say. Says Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak this week also made similar comments. We always forget about the WAS. During an interview with Paul Smith at the Australian Finance Review, the 64-year-old admitted that he can now see some of the predictions coming true and that human-like computers could be a dangerous reality. I mean, this is what I'm saying. We have some really, really smart minds, people who've been in the industry, people who see what's actually going on. Unlike the idiots, I can't even believe those first two we looked at. They're like, don't worry about it. Keep buying your shit and connecting yourself to the machine because it's way 100 plus million years down the road. Don't worry about it. Come on. It is obviously a propaganda campaign to not pay attention to what is going on until the day when they all shit their pants seeing the armies of Atlas robots marching down their street, because it's going to be long before that. They're already doing it with software. They're already doing it at a nano level. The Atlas robots are going to be the big dogs. The newest one, I don't remember what it's called. I was trying to remember last night. I thought it was the Cheetah, but I don't think it is. It's the one of the smaller dog robots from Boston Dynamics. Now has an arm mounted to its forehead that can open doorknobs. Anyway, back to the story. The WAS quipped, quote, will we be the gods? Or will we be the family pets? Or will we be the ants that get stepped on, unquote? And that is a very good question. We might not even make it to pets. We're going to be the puny humans who aren't worth saving. Computers are going to take over from humans, no question, he added. If we build these devices to take care of everything for us, eventually they'll think faster than us, and they'll get rid of the slow humans to run companies more efficiently. He also directly referenced warnings issued by both Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking about the threat AI has on humanity. He says they are a part of a group of experts. And we've talked about this institution before. We should actually do a little bit more on this. They are part of a group of experts known collectively as the Future of Life Institute. And boy, that name should be telling, because I think that's exactly what it comes down to, who recently drafted an open letter saying scientists should seek to head off the risk that could actually wipe out mankind. And I'll guarantee you that Kurzweil is not a part of the Future of Life Institute. I don't remember the actual dollar value, but I think it was like $42 million. It was pretty sizable that Elon Musk actually put up front for this Future of Life Institute. And that's how strongly that he believes that it's actually a danger. The author said that there is a broad consensus that AI research is making good progress and would have a growing impact on society, but it issued a stark warning that research into the rewards of AI had to be matched with an equal effort to avoid the potential damage that it could wreak. For instance, in the short term, it claims that AI may put millions of people out of work. And do you know, I don't have it up right now, but I just saw a story about that also. We've looked at a bunch of things talking about industry insiders saying exactly what we've been saying, that, oh, this new revolution, this is like going to be as big as the Industrial Revolution. There's a whole paradigm shift coming. Software and robots are going to start running all kinds of things, and there's going to be mass unemployment. But don't worry, because it's going to be like Buck Rogers out of the 21st century. According to Kurzweil, we're going to be able to sit around and do lots of deep thinking and have our robots feed us grapes as we live in the new utopia. But we know it's not going to be that way. When there are no more jobs and they don't need us anymore, and you're not producing, adding to the machine. And as the doles get larger of people who don't have jobs who are collecting off the system, how long is it going to be before, and I mean, they've already designated the majority of humans as unnecessary, useless eaters and ones that are causing climate change. Hey, we need to reduce the carbon quotient down to zero. That's not looking too good for the future of the human race, to be honest. But I just saw a story the other day going, no, it's exaggerated. We're not going to lose all these jobs with technology. Don't worry about it. People are overreacting. Again, another propaganda hit piece. So people don't pay any attention until it is too late. Earlier this month, Tesla boss Mr. Musk says he believes humans could be banned from driving in years to come. And all cars instead will be controlled by robots. And I've said that. One of my greatest joys in life is the bastion of freedom that I feel when I'm on the road. And I don't want anyone to take that away from me. The entrepreneur also claims that computers will one day do a much better job at driving. And that humans are simply just too dangerous behind the wheel. And I can see that as well. All right, guys. Well, if you can even believe it, that is another hour in the bag. Make sure you stick around because it is Thursday. Mr. Kevin Blanche is up next. We have Ron live at 7 p.m. Eastern with Game On. We have Behind the Wood Show with Hale at 8. Double Cross with Chuck at 10. And Intermediate Radio with SM Gibson at 11. All right, guys. Have an awesome Thursday. I'll see you next week.